Hi and welcome to Norway. My name is Sigrun and today with me I have
Stella.
Hello.
And
Mathilde.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, fine. I mean, this week I have to study a lot, but I think it's for all of us that now the exams are getting closer and we have to do a lot of stuff for university, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm just really late, so not that bad, but yeah, should be fine.
Okay.
Hi. This is Bastian from Germany, and you're listening to Norway.
We have our segment News from the World. Stella, do you want to begin?
Sure. I mean, it's a little bit more complicated topic, but I try to say it in easy words. Mm-hmm. It's about the Syria conflict.
Yeah.
And the German defense chief. She recommended international security zone in Syria. And that was a big debate in Germany because... she was not talking about it with her partners in government, and the foreign minister, he just got an SMS some minutes before she published that she wanna do that. So So the Social Democrats, from which party he is, they were kind of confused about her and irritated. The zone in Syria shall work in cooperation with European partners as well as Turkey and Russia, which is also a big conflict because Russia and Turkey are not always the best partners, as we know, or at least you can have some ethic or moral doubts about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is also a point. And she also got critic for that because she was not talking to her partners like France, for example. Mm-hmm. So from Paris, they were also like really irritated about that because she was not talking to them about it. And they said that they think that it's just from her to say something for her inner politic, because for the elections and for all the stuff that she just want to make sympathize and just... do her job as a defense minister, but that it's not for foreign policy really important. And also her proposal would mean a lot of change in German politics because it would be the first implement for the Federal Republic in a military conflict. Because we usually don't do that after the Second World War.
No, I understand that you don't really do that.
If I understand well, she just took the decision by herself for everyone?
Yes. I mean, it's not really a decision, it's just a proposal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But still, usually you have to talk to, like, the chancellor and to the government. She's in a coalition with the Social Democrats. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they are together, a government. And so usually you should talk to them before you publish a proposal like this.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And also maybe to the other partners in Europe, like France.
Yes, at least send them a little text like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's a big debate in Germany and it hasn't come to an end. Now, some people say that maybe she's right to do that and she has a bigger plan after that, but nobody knows really. So we will see.
Yeah. And I think that Germany is also a big pillar in the European Union. So a move from Germany would maybe mean a direction towards which the European Union would lean forward, so that she decided that proposal on her own is a big thing, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially with also to make a deal with like Turkey again or Russia, because we have mm-hmm. this deal about refugees, that Turkey is going to keep refugees in their country and not get letting them to Germany. And this is why we support Turkey. And Erdogan is kind of misusing this contract now and mm-hmm. wanted to have more money. Otherwise, he wanted to get the refugees back to Germany and all this stuff. And so I would not say that her proposal is bad at all, but it was a bad attitude how she was proposing it. And I think there's a lot of debate about the partners like Russia and Turkey, and you should really do that.
Yeah, she didn't go the right way to propose it.
Yeah,
definitely. I think this conflict is more about the way she did things than what she really proposed. I don't think that's the heart of the conversation right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Mathilde? Do you have any news from the world, or do you want me to take something from Norway first?
I think to speak about Norway first is a good idea.
Yeah. I often have in the Norwegian news something I call cucumber news. This week I don't really have that, because we have more of a sad case, a bit frightening, because this last week there was I wouldn't call it an attack, but a happening in Oslo, where a guy and a girl were in a police chase, and they ended up stealing an ambulance. Ooh. and having guns and drugs in their car and in and later in the ambulance, and they ran over a mother with twins in a stroller. The kids are fine, just so everyone knows.
That's good to hear.
They are back home. I read an interview on NRK with the mom, and she said that it was really, really frightening, but she's so happy that her kids lived.
Yeah.
And there's been a big debate around if this is, and we can take it as a terrorist attack, or what we can say about it, because the guy had some, he was on the far right wing of politics, mm-hmm. and is a known man for the police, and the police even had to shoot on the ambulance, on the tires of the ambulance, and that's a big thing in Norway, since we don't have police that wear guns. So then it's a debate about should they maybe have guns, or what should we do. It was a good thing that they had it this time, and they shot 19 times, and some people like that's a lot.
So do I get it right, the offenders are dead now?
No, they
got caught.
Yeah, they got caught. If I remember correctly, the guy was the only one that was in the ambulance, because the car they first rode together, he crashed it, and then he hijacked an ambulance,
mm-hmm.
and then he wrecked the ambulance, and the police got to him and arrested him, and then they found the woman. I think it was 1 hour later in another part of the city, but they knew who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman had said that through her lawyer that she had nothing to do with it. She was just hiking with this guy. We don't really know. The guy was a known suspect to the police, and some people are saying that did they have to really fire 19 times, but that was a really stressful situation, because it was in the middle of the city, and maybe the police shot one or two times more that they really had to stop him. So he's in custody, and
has he said something about his motives yet?
It's the lawyer has said that he does not say that he's guilty.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that he's done it, but it's they trying to steer it in the way that he had a mental breakdown, and they they don't think the police don't think that it is a terrorist attack, or it's that it's planned. It's just something that happened.
Okay.
But in Norway, things like this never really happen.
Maybe that's why they shoot more than they should have, because they're not used to do that. So
yeah, they aren't really used to this type of thing, and but they are now having the police have like a special unit inside where they are now investigating if they had to shoot 19 times, mm-hmm. which I think is a really good thing that we are talking about. Like, okay, you shot 19 times, we think that's the good or right thing to do, but we have to like see if you really, really had to do it that many times, mm-hmm. and that's really normal in Norway. Every time a police officer shoots with a gun, the special unit has to investigate it, since they aren't allowed to really have guns on them around.
Sad, but let's see what get after it.
Well, I have a more funny story.
That's good.
It's about scooters. So I don't know if you're aware of it, but starting about, I would say, a year ago, scooters started to invade France. It was a big thing all over the news, because I don't know what happened, but just one morning there were scooters all over, like in free access for people to travel instead of using bikes or to walk. And the thing is, it was really sudden and brand new. And yeah, as I said, a year ago, we had a lot of news about scooters that invade. At the beginning, it was really funny, to be honest. Like, people were wondering, where did they come from? Obviously, it was investors. It was not a surprise, but it was really sudden for every French person. And then people started to do a little whatever they wanted to with the scooters, because there was no regulation regarding them, like rolling on the highway, which is really, really dangerous, or rolling, like hurting people maybe by going too fast and things like that. And so the fun news is that today, finally, there is registration regarding the scooters that now are not really allowed to roll on the sidewalks, but rather on the bike lane. But I mean, I think this whole story was really funny, and I think even now it's treated a bit as of a joke, even which is a bit sad, to be honest. But sometimes people would get hurt by scooters that were going too fast, and in the news it was treated like, what happened? It's almost like a joke.
Yeah, because it's not the, because when you say scooter, I think about the mopeds, but it's electric ones that you stand on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We have them.
Oh yeah, not the mopeds.
Yeah, we have those in Oslo as well, and that's also taking over the city. They don't have it here in Bergen yet, but I see some private people buying it themselves, mm-hmm. because in Oslo you have to rent them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the that's same in France. Yeah, you have to rent them, yeah. Right? Yeah, and I know some. Blind people in Oslo were a bit scared because they've been run over by it, because they can't hear them since they're electric, and people are on the sidewalk, and they're not thinking about if they see a person with a white cane or a dog. They're like, oh, she or him could probably hear me, but they've been run over, and they can go really fast. I think it's like 20 kilometers an hour or something.
I think now it's also limited speed, and also one person per scooter.
Yeah.
Like a set of rules. But I think the fact that it was treated even now a bit of as a joke, I think that the French population, maybe not the powers like assembly or parliament, but maybe more the people, would treat it a bit as a joke, those who are not affected by it, because it's more seen as a child toy, kind of.
Yeah.
So people are like, hey, how can you get hurt by a scooter? When the first time people were get run over by a scooter, people were surprised, like, hey, how can that happen? It's a bit odd. But I don't think no one was killed, so that's a good thing that they regulated already before that happened. And
Yeah, we also had a big discussion about that in Germany, and but I have the feeling that it's kind of ridiculous, because a lot of people are talking about the scooter parking everywhere, that they are like, that you just run over them, and that they are parking and destroying the nice view of a city. But imagine how many cars we are having, and people don't see that. They don't even see parking cars everywhere. I mean, okay, I got it that e-scooter could be annoying at some point, but we just get used to the cars, and we don't see what a waste of space they are. And I think this should be the bigger discussion than e-scooters.
Yeah, and I think that the electric scooters and the electrical bikes and everything, like, I think that's much better for the environment.
Definitely.
For people like in the inner cities to use them, rather than to take your car and drive 5 minutes where you could walk or have a bicycle and come there in 10 minutes.
I think the development of this kind of means of transportation means that there is a step in the, or what I think is the right direction, so it was more environmental friendly means of transportation. Because the reason that this happened, there is scooters and bikes everywhere, is because people used them. Otherwise, it would not people could not afford putting them just for rent if they didn't get money in them meanwhile. So I think that maybe it's a good thing. And maybe also to show the discussions maybe about scooters, as you said, Stella, can maybe induce then the discussions about cars. Oh, well, yeah, there is scooters, but what about the cars? And
but I also agree that we have to have regulations about the speed limit and where you can use it, like we have on bicycles and where you could walk, yeah. Or where you could drive your car, where the buses or the trams can travel. I totally agree that we have to have some regulations about how you could use it.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Mathilde from France and you're listening to No Way.
Now we are going to talk about the season we are upon, or we're in, maybe?
I think we are in right now, in Bergen at least. I do really feel the leaves have fallen down. We are in autumn.
Yeah, and if you can tell, we are in autumn, and that's what we're going to talk about. Because you, Mathilde, had some thoughts about autumn that you wanted us to talk about.
Yeah, so it's more about what changes in this autumn, especially in Norway, because the rest of the world obviously know what autumn is.
Yeah.
It's just like it sparked. I saw at one point one person, one guy from the, I think it was for Schuss, the transport enterprise in here in Bergen, and he was handing over little reflective bands.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really funny. I saw them already in France, but not that much. And in here, it seems like everyone has them. And I thought maybe because of the night in here.
Yeah. That's a sign that the autumn is coming because it gets really dark in the evenings and the nights in Norway. And it's something that you really learn from a young age, that you have to wear the reflective bands, mm-hmm. and you can get them in cute animals. And I feel like I get them from my mom and my aunts, and I give them to other people. Mm-hmm. And it's also a big thing in Norway is to have the reflective material in your clothing, because it's not always cool to have to have it on you, but now it's become cool to have like a backpack that has the reflecting material in it, but you can't really use the wristband or the cute animals. So that's a thing in Norway, and I thought about it because I knew that we were going to talk about it, and I thought, oh, what do I really do to prepare for autumn and winter? And I was like, I don't really bring down my wool sweaters because I can use them in the summer in the evening. But then I thought about it, I changed my duvet, the one you sleep with. I changed it from a really like soft one that's really thin that I use in the summer, and now I have a big thick one, so I don't get cold at night. That's really the only thing I do that's preparing me for autumn and winter, and I light more candles. And
What do you do against getting depressive when it's dark? Because I read that some people are taking like this vitamin D stuff.
Yeah, it's since it gets so, that's mainly in the north of Norway, and some people who have a job where they are inside all the time, and they get to like work at 8 and they leave at maybe 5, and then it's in the winter, it's
already dark.
It's already dark, you don't see the sunlight, and then they get a prescription from their doctors to take vitamin D, because we don't get enough vitamin D in Norway. So that's really the thing that that people do, and it's also I would say that it's a way of using depression, because it's a real illness, but many people in Norway get winter depression and they say, oh, I'm so winter depressed. I don't really like it when people say it, because it's a real illness.
But I don't know a better word in English to explain this feeling.
Yeah, and even in Norwegian, you don't really, that's the word we always have been using, and people get vitamin D, they get the medicine or from their doctors to take. That's really only, and the health director have like said, I wouldn't really recommend people taking vitamins unless they have talked to their doctor, and the doctor said you have to take it. But in the winter, they really recommend all Norwegian to take vitamin D as a precaution, because it's when you get so far that you have to go to the doctor, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
But how have you prepared? Because this is your first autumn in Norway. Have you prepared any like tips or tricks that you do? Or you thought about, oh, now I have to bring my wool
well,
out.
I did bought a Norwegian blanket. I'm really proud of it. It's a crocheted, not really crocheted, but someone made it, I think.
Yeah.
Blanket was second hand, so I also do my ecological duty, which is perfect. And I honestly, as soon as I'm in my room, I'm like cozy in it, and it's really comfortable. That's how I prepared. Mm. I don't have a lot of other ways because I'm only staying for a year, so I didn't brought that much stuff. I did brought a lot, don't get me wrong, but I tried and reduced it at maximum, so yeah.
Yeah, usually I love to decorate, but it's the same as for Mathilde. I'm not going to stay here for so long, so it's not worth to bring all the stuff, but I also love candles. And my favorite drink in autumn and winter is a piece of ginger, some lemon, and some honey, and then hot water, which
really
is the
good.
Best for your body to prepare against the cold. I really like that, and I recommend that.
Yeah, but do you have because it's a big thing in Norway that the flu season is normally in the autumn.
Yeah.
Do you have that in your respective countries?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, actually, other news in France right now is how you should get shot for the flus, and some don't, and some do. All the vaccines problematic of is it worth it? It's not. I don't think it's anti-vaccine. People don't think it works. I think it's more people who are kind of on the lazy side and say, is it really worth it to go to the doctor and then get to the pharmacy and then get my flu shot? Blah 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 blah. So, I think it's more out of laziness that they don't get shot than really feeling that it doesn't work.
And also a hot tip or a sign that autumn is here is that the stores, the grocery stores and everything, they're putting out the Christmas decorations and the gingerbread and everything else.
Nice.
So it's it's really nice. But my tip to you is really to wear wool. And stay warm, and maybe buy a scarf if you don't have, and some gloves and everything.
I have a question. Do you feast Halloween a lot in here or not? Because that's the thing. In stores, I barely saw any Halloween things and stuff, as well as I feel like this is not Halloween has not passed yet. You should not get the Christmas decorations yet. And I did saw a lot of Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
So
you already have the Christmas soda out in the stores, and that's also a big debate. But we don't really we celebrate Halloween, but it's more of a party, or we are now in the age, since we're over 18, that we can have like the party section of Halloween, and that probably until you're like 30, and then before that you have from your like 6 until 12 you have the trick or treats.
And you really do that here?
Yeah.
So you walk around on Halloween and ask for
candy? Yeah,
candy? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But children mainly do it, and it's uncool after you're 12, so we have like from 12 to 18 you don't really do anything for Halloween.
Okay.
And then you're from like 18 to 30 you have like a party and you drink. But it's more, I think Norwegian are more into Christmas and that type of holiday than they are Halloween.
It's funny because in Germany we don't celebrate Halloween too. I would say very similar to Norway, but we also don't have like this day for candy on Halloween for children. But we have another date. It's called Martin's Umzug, which is on the 11th of November.
Yeah.
Is it the light?
It's with lanterns, little children walking around, and in their neighborhood, first there is like a guy. It's the Saint Martin, and he shared his coat in like history to a poor guy, so this is why we celebrate him. And he's coming on a white horse and giving candies to the children, and then the children walk around the streets, going from house to house, ringing the bell and singing a Saint Martin song. There are a lot of songs, and then they get like candy. So this is our equivalent to Halloween, but it was there before. So I think this is why we don't have children on the streets on Halloween because we already have this St. Martin's.
Yeah, you have another day.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but it was really nice because from the village where I came from, there's also another date and another Saint a little bit earlier. But this is really just in our hometown, and that was so nice because I was going twice. I was going in my hometown on the date, and 10 days later, I was going to my aunt with my cousins in their town doing St. Martin's. So I had two dates and two bags of candy.
Oh, that sounds nice. So nice.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, but it's people in Norway are more into Christmas and everything that gets put out for Christmas, like the Christmas soda. That's a big debate. If you meet some Norwegians, you can ask them, oh, do you like the red Christmas soda, or do you like the brown Christmas soda?
What does it taste like? What is in it?
The red one tastes like raspberry, kind of. Mm-hmm. And the brown more like champagne soda, if you know what that is. It's like the Villa that you can buy in Norway. I don't have another like way to describe it, but some people are really strict that they only drink it from the 1st of December to like December is over. But some people, most people that I know, buy it now as a treat because you only get it.
And what's your favorite one?
I like the red or the red one. That's my favorite, really. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sweet, but it's really nice. Mm-hmm. And you've probably seen it in the store, the gingerbreads are that you can buy pre-made.
Oh yeah, the little men.
Yeah.
I saw them, I was like, what is going on? Did I went into a space loop, or like the time is already Christmas?
Is it not in France like this?
Well, it would be rather in middle of November, I feel like, and my region is a bit particular. We are really close to Germany, mm-hmm. So we do have more of the German side traditions. I think we do celebrate Martin's Day, but I think it's only in my region, for example. Mm. And we do also have the little gingerbreads, but again, I think we call them Manele, and I think it's specific to my region too. So rest of France, I don't think they celebrate Halloween like end of October, and then let's spend 10 to 15 days until middle of November. And yeah, basically we do have the same as you, but maybe a bit less, I feel.
Hmm. Before we go to a song, I want to ask you, do you know the Norwegian word for autumn?
Autumn? Høst?
Ah,
yeah, true. Hest. Hi, here's Stella, and you listen to our show, Norway.
My beautiful segment where I teach my friends from the foreign countries about Norway. And I thought that you, Stella, you have been to Oslo recently.
True.
And I would like to ask you, did you see the castle?
Yes, I saw it.
Because this time I'm going to talk about the Norwegian royal family.
Oh, I love that.
And I also thought, since you are from France and Germany, mm-hmm. you don't have the royal
True.
Families.
I know, we decapitated them, so.
Yeah.
But I love your crown prince. He's so handsome.
Håkon, yes.
Yes, he really is.
That's also the name of my boyfriend. He's also named Håkon. But do you know the name of the king and the queen of Norway?
Is it Harald and Sonja?
Yes.
Ooh, nice. I have no idea who the royal family is. I think it's my French side, but I did not had any info on that. I did not check in Wikipedia, nothing. So.
Oh. And is Mette Marit the wife from Håkon? Or
yes.
The sister? No, the wife.
Yeah, that's the wife. And his sister is... No, yeah. And this now and then his sister is called Marta Louise.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that we can do a little history lesson first to explain the royal family. Because Norway didn't become its own independent country until 1905.
Oh, that's late. I knew that they were like under Danish domination for a while.
Yeah,
but
and it was a Danish... not a Danish king, but it was a Danish one who became first king,
right? Yes, I am...
sorry.
Yes. Because before this, we were both in unit with Denmark and Sweden, where we have some, since we have so similar languages, that's p- probably why. And when we got our independence, there was an election in Norway where we voted on if we wanted to have a monarchy or we wanted to have a president. Mm-hmm. And then the people decided that we wanted a government and we wanted to have a monarchy as well, where the highest power was the prime minister, but mm-hmm. we would like to have a royal family as well. Mm-hmm. And then they asked the prince of Denmark, then named Karl, mm-hmm. And later named King Håkon, where our crown prince Håkon is named after his great-great-grandfather, and his wife, Princess Maud of England. And why people wanted to ask them is because they had a child already. A boy named Alexander, mm-hmm. and later named Olav, which we know as King Olav, which is the father of King Harald.
Ah.
Yes. And they get then changed their name, both Kong Håkon and Konge is Norwegian for king.
Yeah.
Yes, it's kind of hard for me to talk in the English about the royal family. I'm sorry. And then Alexander was named Olav. And the royal family in Norway don't really have any power. They only are more of a symbol. Mm-hmm. And the only real power that, or the job that the king has is that he meets with the government every Friday and they present what they have done that week. And he's also the one that tells them the leader of the biggest party in parliament after an election that, yes, you can form a government. That's more of a symbolism kind of. They would do it anyway, even though we don't really have to ask him mm-hmm. about
yeah,
it.
I feel.
And he also opens the parliament after an 8-week summer vacation that we have in Norway.
8 weeks.
Yeah, and then he opens it. And the job of the royal family is really to represent Norway in other countries and go around in Norway opening libraries, schools, and they're more of a symbol of what Norway is. Mm-hmm. And on the 17th of May, the children parade in Oslo, that's our national holiday day. Yeah,
I think the national day is the what?
Yeah, they go to, they all meet in front of the castle, and then the royal family are there and they're waving to everybody. Mm. So they have a big, long day of just waving at children. Mm. What I really like about the royal family is that in 1991, we changed our constitution from that only boys could inherit the throne to girls.
Ooh.
So when Harald dies, his son, Crown Prince,
yeah,
mm-hmm. that's Crown Prince, Håkon will be king, and after he dies, his daughter, Princess Ingrid Alexandra, mm-hmm. Will be our first queen in Norway.
How old are they, all of them, approximately?
Crown Prince Håkon is about 40, 45,
yeah.
And Princess Ingrid Alexandra is 14, 15.
You're kind of a teenager.
Yeah, she's starting high school next year, so that will be that she will turn 15 in or 16.
Yeah,
she's a teenager and soon starting high school.
Okay.
So that's something I really like.
Yeah,
And they have their castle, and that is open for visitors in the summer holiday because they have a lot of other places that they can stay. Like, for example, they can go to Bergen, and then they have...
Yeah. Do they have the residence here?
Yeah, they have a residence here, and they have one at in Oslo a bit further out where they also could stay, and then visitors can come. And the thing about the royal family is that everyone in Norway feels like they live in the castle, but it really belongs to the people. Mm. That mm. people can say, oh, okay, you live there, but you don't really own mm-hmm. all of those things. It belongs to the people. And it's a strange kind of tradition that we really have a royal family, because they don't have any powers, and it's more like, I feel like you in Germany, where you have a president and don't have that much power, right?
Sure. He's just representative.
Yeah, and I don't know how it is in France. You have a president, but he has power.
The most of the powers. To be honest, some of the political analysts compare our president to a king or prince, because he does have a lot of power. So, thing is, really short, because I don't want to bore you with French politics, but the person who basically created the Fifth Republic, which we are in these days, is General de Gaulle. And after, he always wanted to be a strong man. After the Second World War, first of all, there was a Fourth Republic, because people did not at all wanted one person to lead everything, because they saw during the Second World War what happened to the people if only one person had all the powers. But it did not really stand for long, until May 68, and then it has a big political crisis, and then he got he was a hero from the Second World War, so people say, okay, now we give it to you, make it work, we want our politics to work. And he just wanted to have one person that was really responsible for everything. So it's a bit of a huge burden, I think, to be president in France, because people expect you to be the miracle that will make everything right again.
Yeah, because what I really like about France is that you still, even though you don't have a monarchy, you still have all the buildings so you can come and visit it. But it's strange to think about that your countries don't really have a monarchy, because it's a big thing about the Norwegian heritage. Mm-hmm.
But that's really weird, because when you were talking about Oslo and about the castle, because I was there.
Yeah.
But when you were talking about it, I figured out that, oh, well, they are living there.
Yeah.
Because when I was in Oslo, I wasn't thinking about that people are living there, because in Germany, people don't live in castles anymore. Yeah. It's just for public. And now after you said it, I got it. Oh, yeah, of course, they are living people. So for us, it's the other way around.
Exactly.
We cannot really imagine that people really living there.
Yeah, and if the king is home, they raise the flag, mm-hmm. the Norwegian flag, all the way up. So if I'm in Oslo and I'm at Karl Johan, which is the street that mm-hmm. the castle is on, I was like, Oh, he's home. Nice. I thought he maybe was somewhere else. We just have them, and they are a bit scrutinized when they say something, or they are like, don't, because they get money from the government, from the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And if they do something with it, like, oh, we went on this holiday mm-hmm. there was a big case when they went on a boat mm-hmm. From a friend of theirs, but they didn't want to say who the friend was. Mm-hmm. And the Norwegian people are like, I pay for everything. You have to tell me what you are up to. So since the Norwegian people pay everything, mm-hmm. We really feel like we have, we can ask them anything, and we can mm-hmm. really look inside their lives.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's interesting, because I wanted to ask you the same, because I heard from the case in Sweden that the king made his grandchildren, like, that they are not in the priority for throne anymore. I don't know how to say it right, but there was this big discussion, because I think also public said that the Swedish monarchy is spending too much money, because especially the daughter Madeleine, that she's living in the US with her husband and their children, and that the Swedish people are going to pay for it.
Yeah, because Crown Prince Håkon, his sister Martha Louise, she said that she didn't want to be Her Royal Highness anymore. Mm-hmm. Just, she said that princess is a part of her personality. I do not support that, but she is more of an alternative person. She believes in angels, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But she started a school with a friend of hers where people could like come and be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And now her boyfriend is a shaman. From the US. And people are really angry at him, and that's also some news from Norway that he published a book in the US, and it's not going to be published in Norway, or it can be published in Norway and people can buy it here, but not in Norwegian.
Okay.
Because in the book he is describing how he has intercourse with the princess.
Mm.
And saying that if you have cancer, it's really just a part of you that want to die. that your body chose to have cancer. Mm. And if you can really just get that part of you that don't want to die to live again, you will maybe be healed.
Okay.
And that some women who have intercourse with a lot of different men have imprints inside them, energy imprints that he can heal you from, and you will become a better person.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's difficult when it's under the label of the monarchy, kind of.
Yeah.
It's her boyfriend.
Yeah, but because if it was like, okay, I don't want to be Royal Highness, I don't want to be a princess anymore, people are like, okay, then.
Yeah.
She doesn't get any money from us, mm-hmm. but still she still have the title Princess of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
that can be bad influence on people, because maybe some people think who are has cancer that even if the princess is doing this and believing in this, she has more kind of influence than other people.
Hi, this is Varun from India, and you're listening to No Way.
Now we're sadly at the end of our show. It's been a really good show with you guys.
Yeah, thank you for hosting us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
So if you just came into our show and you wondered, oh, what did you talk about? We talked about news from the world. We talked about autumn, and we talked about the royal family of Norway. And if you want to listen to us, you can listen to us at every place you can find the podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.